Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. This morning's meditation is taken from the Gospel lesson. I will reread verses 33 through 35. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, just imagine this scene. The astonishment that Joseph and Mary must have felt when to them a complete stranger comes right up to them, takes baby Jesus in his arms, and this stranger thanks the Lord for their child and then begins to speak about what their baby was going to be and what this baby would do and how people of Israel would react to their baby when he was an adult. Simeon said their child is the salvation of the Lord. Their child is a light that reveals salvation to those in darkness, the Gentiles. Their child is the glory of the people Israel. Their child is the one who will cause many people in Israel to fall and many to rise. Their child will be spoken against, and he will cause his mother to suffer great pain someday. These are not exactly the light-hearted comments about some mother's child, are they? And yet, Simeon's words are a prophecy from the Lord about Mary's child. So today we consider Simeon's prophecy. Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem so that Mary could be purified after giving birth to a son. They were also at the temple to present Jesus as belonging to the Lord and to offer money to buy him back. The law of Moses stated that after a woman had a child, she was to go through a time of purification. She was considered ceremonially unclean, and possibly because she and her husband had passed their sinful nature onto their child. It was in this way they had brought another sinner into the world. And according to Leviticus 12, Mary was considered to be unclean until Jesus was circumcised, and then for 33 more days, Mary could not touch anything that was considered to be holy, nor could she even enter the temple. After 40 days, Mary had to come to the temple to be purified in the way the law of Moses prescribed. She would offer her sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord for blessing her with a son. Wealthy families offered a lamb. Poor families were allowed to bring two birds instead. So it's evident that Joseph and Mary did not have means. Perhaps they were poor. In addition to the rite celebrating purification of the mother, the parents of the firstborn son were required to offer a certain amount of money to the Lord to redeem their son, their firstborn son, to buy the boy back from the Lord. After the Passover in Egypt, remember, when God killed the firstborn sons of Egypt and spared the firstborn sons of the Israelite homes, God said that all firstborn sons were dedicated to his service in the tabernacle. Later on, the tribe of Levi was set apart for this work. But that didn't change that the Lord owned the firstborn son. So parents had to pay a certain ransom. It was a reminder that they and the child had brought into the world all they needed, an even greater redemption, a greater ransom that this child would bring to the world. This redemption was the reason why Jesus came into the world, wasn't it? While Mary and Joseph were in the temple, they came across a man. His name was Simeon. Luke describes him as righteous, as a devout man. Describes him as one who was waiting for God to fulfill all his prophecies about the Messiah, the Christ. So Simeon had been waiting for the Messiah all his life. In fact, the Holy Spirit revealed to this man that he would, in fact, see the Messiah someday before he died. Just see, all his life, decades, looking, waiting for the Messiah, and being told, you're going to see him. So this particular day, the Holy Spirit moved Simeon to go into the temple courts. While he was there at the temple, he came across Joseph and Mary and little baby Jesus. The temple complex was extremely large. So large, in fact, that hundreds of thousands of people could be on Temple Mount at the same time. And during the high festivals, that's exactly how many people were there. So we can assume that there were probably quite a few women who were at the temple for their purification. And out of all of these couples with babies, this particularly elderly man comes up to this couple, Mary and Joseph, with baby Jesus. And he says some very astonishing things about Mary, especially about Jesus. Mary and Joseph have already heard some rather amazing things about Jesus, haven't they? Jesus would be great. He would be called Son of the Most High. He would reign on David's throne forever. His kingdom would never end. He was holy. He was the Son of God. He would save his people from their sins. Mary and Joseph were told, and they believed all these astonishing things about Jesus, their son. However, this man named Simeon, who is completely unknown to them, knows this, knows all about these things. And he knows even more about their baby. Simeon speaks the words we now call the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing after the distribution of Holy Communion. We remember the words. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Dr. Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary were astonished at what this elderly man spoke. But this elderly man, Simeon, was not finished. He blessed both Joseph and Mary. And then he spoke to Mary alone. Behold, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your soul too, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. With these words, Simeon speaks some very negative things about what would happen to Jesus. He speaks about people falling on account of Jesus. He speaks about Jesus being opposed and people's thoughts being exposed, their thoughts about him, about the truth of the Lord. And he also tells Mary that a sword is going to pierce through your soul. What does all this mean? I'm sure at the time they... But picture a scene years later. You mothers have an insight us fellows don't have to some extent.
Because Mary saw her baby at the cross, on the cross. And think of what all that meant. A soul, a sword piercing through her soul is quite an accurate description. One day she would remember Simeon's words. Many who would meet Jesus would fall, others would rise. Depending on whether they believed Jesus, whether they believed his word, or rejected him. To some, Jesus would be a stumbling block. I think about the scribes and Pharisees. These were leaders in Israel. They knew the Bible, letter for letter even. Very well they knew Scripture. And yet, when Jesus, the Messiah, came, the one they were waiting for, they didn't recognize him. You see, Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus touched lepers. Jesus worked on the Sabbath day of all days. He came from Nazareth in Galilee. There were so many things about Jesus that that didn't fit in their understanding of what the Messiah would be. And they stumbled over Jesus. They fell, just as Simeon had prophesied. What about Jesus' own family? You remember in the Gospels at one point, his family, his brothers, tried to take charge of him because they thought he was insane. This is in Mark 3. John 7 says another thing about the brothers of Jesus. They tried to get Jesus to go to Jerusalem to be a public figure. And then John adds the comment that not even his brothers believed in him, at least not at that time. To Jesus' brothers during his public ministry, Jesus was a stumbling block. The people of Jesus' own hometown, you remember how they received Jesus. They recognized this man. How could this guy that we know, how could he be the Messiah? Remember what they tried to do at one point? Lead him out to the hill where the city was built. They wanted to throw him down and stone him to death. And Jesus' own disciples stumbled over Jesus' teaching. Remember at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus was saying some things and Peter made the confession of faith, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember what Peter took Jesus aside to tell him? "No, Lord, this should never happen to you." And remember what Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter stumbled. It was faith, but he stumbled. He didn't understand. Jesus would cause the fall of many as they rejected his teaching, as they misunderstood his teaching. He would also cause the rise of many as they believed his words and believed his teaching. I think of leaders like Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea. I think of prominent women. Joanna, the wife of Herod's household manager. She believed Jesus. I think about the Canaanite woman, the woman at the well, the woman whose son Jesus raised from the dead at Nain. The centurion whose servant Jesus healed. At whose faith Jesus prays. Countless others. Who believed Jesus' words, even though they couldn't fully put things together. They believed him, they trusted him, and their lives reflected that. What about us? Do we stumble over Jesus' words, over his teaching? Do we have to fully understand with our human reason before we ever believe what Jesus says? The disciples, now I'm not talking about the 12, but the larger group that followed, this is in John 6, they didn't understand Jesus' teaching in that chapter, so they stopped following Jesus. What about us? Perhaps we stumble over what our Lord fails to do in our lives. He doesn't answer our prayers in the way we want him to answer them. I remember one time in my life that happened. He doesn't give us what we think we should have. We aren't recognized in ways we think we should be recognized. Will we follow Jesus and believe His words and trust His promises even when it's difficult? Even when we don't understand all the details and how it fits together? For a moment, consider Mary. She said to the angel, "Let it be to me as you have said." Some words. She didn't stumble over the Lord's word from the angel. And yet, when she went back to her hometown, Nazareth, after visiting the relatives, she was more than likely avoided by people who used to be her friends. They considered her to be a sinful woman now. They did the math. She was gone for 3 months. Immediately after the angel visited her, she came back and perhaps she was noticeably with child. Joseph was in Nazareth the whole time. Did her parents believe her? We know at first that even Joseph didn't believe her. She was alone. And yet she trusted in the Lord. Let it be to me as you say. Now, I'm positive she had all kinds of questions, and again, the ladies would know what kind of questions she might have. Nevertheless, Mary trusted in her Lord. She did not stumble over Jesus. She did not oppose Him or the Lord. And then on one awful day, the sword pierced through Mary's soul when she saw her baby grown now, being crucified, bleeding, dying, and saying in the darkness of that day, my God, why have you forsaken me? The sword pierced her deeply, didn't it? Yet she trusted her Lord, and later on, she would know, if she didn't already know, that her son had to suffer. Her son had to die for the sins of all of us, indeed for the whole world, that he had to rise again from the dead to secure eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and salvation for us all, for all people. The Bible says when the right time came, God sent his son into the world. A woman gave birth to him, and he came under the control of God's laws. God sent him to pay for the freedom of those who were controlled by these laws so that we would be adopted as his children. Friends, if you have stumbled over Jesus, his words, his teaching, if you have found it difficult to believe what he taught in the Word, if you have misunderstood what he has done in your life and as a result went your own way instead of continuing in the Lord's way, if you have stumbled over Jesus in any way or for any reason, or failed to trust him in a certain situation, go to him in prayer. Confess your sins to him. Cling to him as your Savior. And then rejoice in the salvation that Mary's son came to bring to you. He suffered for you, died for your sins, rose again to give you that victory. God was using Christ to restore his relationship with humanity. Christ died to take away our sins, as Scripture predicted. He was placed in the tomb. He was brought back to life on the third day, as Scripture teaches. God had Christ who was sinless, take our sin so that we might receive God's approval through Christ. Ask the Lord to strengthen your faith and trust in Him even when you don't have all the answers. Joseph and Mary went to the temple 40 days after Jesus' birth. They went there to offer sacrifice for Mary's purification and to present Jesus to the Lord for redemption. An older man they didn't even know came up to them and spoke about what their baby Jesus would do for Israel and for Gentiles like you and me. Jesus would secure salvation for the world. Jesus would shine a light in the dark lives of the Gentiles. He would be the glory of Israel too. He would be a stumbling block to people back in the first century and even today. People would oppose him. People who would believe in him and accept his teaching also. And Mary would feel bitter pain and agony as she watched her son suffer and die on Calvary. This was Simeon's prophecy. We ask the Lord to open our eyes to understand what he taught in Holy Scripture. We ask that he would strengthen our reliance on him even when those times are that we don't fully understand what he's doing in our lives or don't fully understand his word. We ask that he empowers us to be like his servants, Joseph, Mary, Simeon, and Anna, who didn't stumble over Jesus, but clung to him. We pray that the Lord will strengthen us through his word as he promises and through the sacrifice. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts in peace.